podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Thank you everyone in the chat. Apologies if you saw the technical issues that happened. It wasn't my fault this time. I pressed go live and Streamlabs crashed. So I'm not taking responsibility for that one. But hopefully it's working now and you can all hear me. This video is dedicated to Christian Eriksen, who is back in the Premier League. Really exciting news, a bit of a feel-good story. And I think his FPL prospects are a little bit in question given everything that happened with him at the Euros and given the fact he hasn't played too many minutes, as we kind of talk about in a bit. But I thought we'd have a bit of a reflective look at some of his previous seasons in the Premier League. If anyone's got any stories about Eriksen, stick them in the chat. If you've owned him for big hauls or double game weeks, if you partnered him with Son and Kane and Ali back in the days when, you know, you could have sort of multiple Spurs players in your side. I know I've got some memories of Eriksen that I'll talk about in a bit. As well. So yeah, really, really good to have him back. And yeah, hopefully he just, you know, absolutely smashes it at Brentford. I think everyone and anyone who isn't even remotely supportive of football is hoping that he does well. Just before I get into that though, I do just want to reference the news story yesterday about Mason Greenwood. Obviously, absolutely awful, harrowing, I think is the word I'd use, Harriet Robson's sort of videos and the audio that came out of it. I don't want to get into the specifics of it, but if anyone's listening to this and feels that something isn't right in their own relationship, is worried about someone else, wants to talk to someone, there's obviously places that you can go to. There's womensaid.org.uk, obviously based in the UK, you can get information. And you can also phone the National Domestic Abuse Helpline. The number is 0808 2000 247. Or men as well, because obviously we get the majority of men watching these videos and playing fantasy football. Obviously there's male domestic abuse that happens as well. So if you're worried about that or worried about someone else, the number is 0808 801 0327. Awful story, and hopefully justice is served swiftly. Okay, let's move on to happier things. And for Eriksen, the happiest thing was his 16-17 season. I've got his stats on the screen now, which are from Fantasy Football Scout. And as you can see, in 16-17, I've filtered this by chances created. I think I did do it by things like expected goal involvement and points and all this kind of stuff. And Eriksen doesn't really feature in the top 10 of a lot of these things. And I want this video to be a little bit of a shrine to Eriksen, because he's an incredible player and I used to love watching him play, and I'm so excited to see him back in the Premier League. And when I think about Eriksen, what do I think about? And I think about chances created, right? His ability to pick a pass, and as you'll see in 16-17, was second to none. He was the best creator of chances in the Premier League in 16-17. De Bruyne was second to him. But Eriksen with 112 and De Bruyne with 103, and then Ozil, you know, 100. So these are like the three kind of chief creators. Whenever you think about, you know, who's going to be creating chances for players, my thoughts, maybe it's my age or whatever, is automatically go to these three players. But in 16-17, Eriksen was the best. It was an unbelievable season for him. You know, you had the likes of Alexis Sanchez that season. Do you remember he got like 260 points that season? And you look at Sanchez's other numbers on this chart. So shots inside the box, Eriksen's there with 39, De Bruyne with 32, Ozil with 31. They're the creators, right? Then you got Hazard with 56, Sanchez with 78. Even someone like Bobby Firmino up there with 69. Good touches in the penalty area. I mean, Eriksen is one of the lowest on this list, 106. And then you look at Sanchez, 256, and Hazard, 219. So we all know that Eriksen isn't necessarily about, you know, having lots of shots, getting the ball in the most dangerous areas. What he had at Spurs in this season was the monopoly of set pieces, you know, free kicks, corners. He was the kind of the number 10. He was the man tasked with creating all the chances. And he had so much talent around him. And you had Ali there, you had Son, you had Kane. It was, you know, it was a great time to be a Spurs fan. They had so much talent in that squad. So yeah, I look back on this season and think really fondly of Eriksen. I think he was around 8 million or something in this season. And he signed with the Bale money. He was one of the kind of you know, players that they bought in like Kapu and some other guys, and Eriksen was kind of the big, you know, the big success story really. So yeah, massive blast from the past. Looking back at this, 17-18, we move into. He came second in this league, so you've got De Bruyne now at the top, 105 chances created. Eriksen falls into second place. We got expected goal involvement stats this season. We didn't have that in the season before. So Eriksen was there 181 minutes per XGI. De Bruyne's 183, so not a huge amount in it. You then had Fabregas, another player who, you know, I think when he was at Arsenal, he was, you know, the main man. He was so far forward, playing so advanced, playing in that kind of Eriksen role. He then came back to Chelsea and played in a much deeper role. But I mean, he still created 89 chances that season, which was, you know, second to only Eriksen and De Bruyne. They had Ozil there as well, 84, and then down to Hazard, 83. And then my best mate, Pascal Gross, his unbelievable season, and my best ever season in FPL as well. So I look at quite a few of the names on this list, and, you know, they give me fond memories. Hazard there, I mean, what a player he was as well. And again, you look at things like touching the penalty area, you look at De Bruyne, Eriksen, Fabregas, Ozil, you know, all under the 100 mark. And then you look at someone like Hazard and Sanchez. I mean, you know, I know this is a video about Eriksen, but during these years, Hazard and Sanchez could just do it all, right? They were creating chances, they were scoring goals, they were the, you know, chief sort of attacking players in their side. And yeah, I look at some of these players and, you know, it does bring you down memory lane, like, because they were the talismans. We talk about the talisman of Spurs, and it's been Kane since he kind of, you know, started getting all the goals he got for them. But Eriksen was such an important part of pulling the strings in the Spurs midfield. And they never replaced him. I think that's one of the huge problems that they've had in recent years, was they've just struggled to find someone who can operate and pull the strings in the way that he did. And I think they hoped that they'd get that with Lo Celso, but haven't really had that. You know, Ndombele's come in and not really performed how they want. Ali's completely dropped off, and he was supposed to be sort of picking up the mantle. So I wonder what they're going to do to kind of address that going forward. Because, you know, as we're going to see in a bit, I mean, Conte knows Eriksen well. You know, had him at Inter. He struggled there initially, but then became a key part of the side. And now he's not working with him again because he's not back at Spurs. He's at Brentford. But it's the same system. That was the point I was trying to make. It's the same system. Obviously, not the same manager. But it's the same system. Conte struggled to get the best out of him in that 3-5-2 system. And that's what Thomas Frank's going to have to get out of him, is get him to perform in the way that we know he's capable of back in these kind of earlier years. Because there has been a drop-off, right? And, you know, now we're coming into the 18-19 season, and now Eriksen falls down to eighth. So still in the top 10, still creating chances, 73 chances created that season. That is down from previous seasons of 95 and his best season of 112, but it's still a solid season. He's now behind the likes of some kind of odd names here. Sigurdsson, Gylfi Sigurdsson, Silva, you know, that's David Silva, 73. Willian, 78. Moutinho, 84. How did he creep onto this? Ryan Fraser, he's there in third. And then James Maddison was the top creator that season with 99. I believe that was a season when De Bruyne was injured. So that's why he's probably not featuring kind of on this list. But yeah, interesting that Eriksen's, you know, did drop off kind of somewhat, quite alarmingly, I think, you know, down this list. You'd expect that to be, you'd expect him to be leading this list given his kind of previous seasons before. What then happened, though, was in 1920, his contract was kind of winding down, and that was under Mourinho. And Mourinho, I think, just didn't really want to play him, or he didn't want to play because he wanted his move, and they were trying to sort of build, you know, sort of move on from him and his influence, really. So that season, if you feel by chance is created, you've got to go right down to 106th to find Eriksen with just 24. He only played 1,090 minutes for Spurs in that season. Sort of the top performing players that season were De Bruyne, 136 chances to create. I mean, with Eriksen gone and Ozil, you know, there was no real competition for De Bruyne. So he was just kind of steamrolling the opposition. Grealish was the next with 91. You had Trent with 87. Buendia there next on the list with 83. Barely played as well. I mean, he got 2,400 minutes, but I remember him, he started off the season quite strongly and then was barely getting into the team kind of towards the end. But, you know, fourth on the list for chances created, and we're starting to see that a bit from Villa now. Madison, back on the list. In fifth, Moutinho, Willian, Dean, we've all seen those before. And then Salah creeps into the top 10 that season. So Salah entering into that kind of level of what we've seen from the likes of Sanchez and Hazard, where the goals aren't everything. And you actually start getting those assists from him as well, which makes such a powerful FPL option because you can just get your points from kind of anywhere. But yeah, I think, you know, looking at this, it's kind of disappointing seeing Eriksen so far down the list. What I did here was I looked at chances created per 90 because I thought it's not really fair to judge him on the others. And he stacks up pretty well. But when you take his 1,090 minutes and look at his 24 chances created, he's creating two chances per 90, which is kind of on level with players like Dean, Moutinho, so it's okay. I mean, you've got De Bruyne there at like 3.6, Grealish, Trent, 2.5. So he's not a million miles off that. If he'd played the full season, I would have expected him to have got into this list again. It's just those kind of minutes that were the kind of issue. Then what I did was I had a look at FBref, which is an amazing tool out there. You know, you can kind of not replace the members area, that'd be stupid, but you could use it alongside to look at things like this. They don't have a chances created stat. What they've got is a shot creating action, which I think is probably the same thing or at least very similar. So I had a look at Eriksen in his kind of Inter days and how that compared to his kind of Spurs days. So Inter in the 2020-21 season, so this was the season sort of going into the Euros. It was his kind of first full season. Inter, he really struggled initially to break into the side. He got into the side, he had a knee injury, he kind of came in, but you know, he became quite a key part of that kind of Inter side, unlike Sanchez who kind of signed in a similar time and never really made it. But his time at Inter, I mean, minutes per expected goal involvement at 0.28 that season is his best he's ever had. His kind of, you know, we don't have that data from 2016-17. I imagine it would be close or if not beating that given the numbers he put in. But even his like kind of, he had strong seasons after that. 2018-19, 0.41, 2017-18, 0.54. So this was still when he was in the top 10 for his chances created, but it was a season where the minutes per XGI was high. He was creating better quality chances. His shots were up as well. I mean, he's having two shots per 90, which was his best return, you know, in any of the other seasons kind of on this list, up from like 2.7 in 2017-18 and 2018-19. So, yeah, in terms of that season was a productive one for him, particularly towards the latter parts of the year. I like this shot creating action per 90 as well. So that was 3.3 for him. So he was creating a chance that led to a shot three times every 90 minutes. That was only bettered in 2018-19 in 2.7. Again, I don't have the stats for 2016-17, which is a shame because I'd love to see how he performed in that season with these kind of things. That's the kind of best we can do. So, you know, these stats are fun. I mean, the time played is kind of the most alarming. I did a video on Coutinho recently where, again, it's difficult to judge where these players are going to fit given how little minutes they've played. I mean, from playing, you know, 90 minutes almost every week for Spurs to suddenly playing only 1,000 in 2019 and then 700 at Inter. So it's probably about, what, a third of the games or something? No, maybe about half the games he played that he could have done across those two sides. And then at Inter, you know, he plays half the games again. So across his last sort of two full seasons, he's only played half the games that were available to him, and a lot of those were kind of off the bench and things. And then obviously he's had all the stuff in the Euros as well, the heart problems. He wasn't released from Inter because of, you know, they basically, it wasn't the fact they didn't want him or they didn't believe that he could come back from this. It's rules within Serie A that meant that he had to find a new club. He legally or whatever it was couldn't play in that league, so had to find a new club. So he hasn't played football for, what, seven months now? So he's been keeping fit. Frank says he hasn't got any sort of concerns about his fitness. And in terms of the horrible sort of heart attack that he had, there's no issues around that. It's more just the case of getting him match fit. They haven't got a huge amount of time to do that. They've only gone in for 6 months now, or however long it is. It's a six-month deal. So they need to get him up to speed and get him playing matches really fast. where he's going to fit into the team, as I mentioned, I think is just going to be straight into a 3-5-2, straight into midfield. I don't think there's huge issues with him his you know ability to come into the role, given that he's played under Conte in the same thing. It's just the impact that he can kind of have. What is interesting is when you look at Brentford and you look at the minutes per chance, how long it's taken them to create a chance, essentially, they are fourth from bottom this season. So they are creating a chance every 8.7 minutes, and there are three teams doing worse than that, which are Burnley, 8.9, Wolves, amazingly, at 9.5, and then Norwich at 9.5 as well. So they are having Eriksen, a fully fit Eriksen, with the stats that we've seen from him previous seasons, his ability to create chances, is the absolute perfect signing for Brentford. Lynn asks in the chat, does it make Tony a more attractive option? I think it has to. I think it has to boost the prospects of the attackers in the Brentford side. Tony hasn't really delivered what we want so far, but this signing could unlock him a bit more because he might have to drop deep less. He might have to stop creating stuff around the kind of penalty area and actually he can get into the box a bit more. You look at free kicks and corners as well. At the moment, Mbeumo is on direct free kicks. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brentford fans, don't think he scored one this season. I look at corners as well, and I'm wondering who's taking those. Eriksen fits that mould perfectly. He's a set piece. Well, actually, I call him a set piece specialist, but I always remember my time of owning Eriksen being really disappointed with his delivery from free kicks and corners. That might just be something that I've got in my own head. It might not necessarily be true. I'd like to actually know the stats of how many free kicks he's scored in his career and what his conversion is, because my memory is that it wasn't that good, and his corner assist rate wasn't particularly impressive anyway, or at least it wasn't for a man of his kind of ability. So, yeah, set pieces, he'll get them, but I'm a little bit sceptical over whether he'll be able to do it. But open play, there are a few players in world football that can create in the manner that he can. And he's signed for a team that are desperate for that creativity inside too. So it looks like a perfect match to me. Really hoping that he can kick off and do really well. Let's skip Bayless. As my take is that this will mean Mbeumo hits the post more often now. You'd think so, wouldn't you? If Mbeumo was getting more chances, that's more chances to hit the post. Perfect. That's exactly what he wants. This was only 5 years ago. I'm only considered one of these options now. I know, it's crazy how time flies, isn't it? Going back to the 2016-17 season, you look at players like Sanchez and Hazard and Ozil, and yeah, it is sad what happens. I think particularly with Sanchez, I mean, how he became from that, how he went from that elite option that I remember with Sanchez, I always used to bring him in as a differential for some reason. I went for him when people weren't really going for him, and he just always delivered, especially when he was playing up front. He was such a good option. And then he signed for United and just all went terribly. Speaking of these kind of options, I thought I'd just look at Eriksen sort of compared to some of these other kind of elite players in the league from an FPL perspective. I put Salah in there as the kind of benchmark. So Salah, since he joined the league, averages 6.95 points a match, which is nuts, to be honest. You then got Hazard at 5.52, KDB at 6. And then you've got quite a big drop off. So then you go down to Silva. So David Silva at 4.95, Eriksen 4.86, and then Ozil 4.68. So Eriksen sort of sandwiched in between David Silva and Ozil for the points that he got per match. And you've got Dele Alli at 4.6. So Eriksen would outscore Dele Alli sort of, you know, on average. And then Fabregas at 3.72. I was quite surprised to see that drop so much, but I guess he had those deep lying playmaker roles at Chelsea. So, you know, this is just a kind of a selection of players, but, you know, Eriksen kind of sandwiched in the middle. But yeah, fond memories of Eriksen. I can remember it always came down to choosing who to pick out of Eriksen and Ali. And I'd always pick Ali. And it would, I'd say, pretty much every time I did, I ended up regretting it. Eriksen would just always outscore him over whatever period I managed to get. And I always regretted not going for Eriksen. And I always just had a soft spot for Dele Alli. And it very rarely paid off. In fact, Dele Alli was a horrible play for me. I remember owning Dele Alli and selling him. He had a match. Who was it? I can't remember who it was. I got sort of googly eyes for Adam Lallana, who's playing for Liverpool and playing really well. So I did Alli to Lallana, and Lallana, I think, was benched and got 1 point, and Dele Alli got a brace. Oh, it's always about. I think Dele Alli was playing someone rubbish, though, like Cardiff or someone, and I still made the move. But yeah, that's my memories of Eriksen, unfortunately, aren't particularly good. So I very rarely owned him, but You know, I know that lots of people benefit from his points. I've got a bit of a treat, actually. Delia says Dele Alli just confirmed a transfer at Everton. That is very, very interesting. I'm not convinced that Van der Beek and Alli are the players that Everton need to sign. I mean, you know, you're struggling right down the bottom of the table. You're bringing in two potentially like very, very talented players, but two players, well, one that hasn't done it in the league at all, really. You could argue that he hasn't had the chance, but he's played under a couple of different managers now and still not been trusted. You wonder what's going on there. And Dele Alli, who I think should have moved abroad to kind of reinvigorate his career, I wonder if he's going to be a real success at Everton. Yeah, very interesting. Baronishi, Eriksen, great for set pieces. Yep, he should be. Although, as Stephen Duthie says, hit the first man at corners for 2 years. Still great to see him back. That's my memory of it as well. I remember always watching him taking corners and him always just hitting the first man and just thinking, he's a specialist at this. I don't understand how he could do it for so long and no one else in the Spurs team was like, okay, Christian, we need to get you off these and do something else. But just lurk around the penalty area a bit. You've got a good shot on you. Just do it around there. That's my memory. I'm glad to know that wasn't just me because I do vaguely remember that. Right, I've got one other thing to show you, which is pretty cool. It's a bit of a treat, really. So you might remember I did a video. When was it? A couple of months ago on Diogo Jota, and I was looking at his. Tendency to blank and tendency to get double digits. And this is a sheet. It's being developed by Top Marks and co, and people familiar with Scout will know him. He's basically a genius. I don't know how this sheet works. But essentially, you can type in any player that's basically ever played in the Premier League. It'll give you a rundown of their kind of points and stats. It'll give you like detailed player stats, so how many appearances they got, how often they return. So, you know, 42% for Christian Eriksen. So he got at least something in 40% of his matches. Tells you his prices, so his most of it's 9.7. You could get caught with it at 7.2. Tells you his best point returns and all of this. And then look at this. I mean, favourite opponents, you know, the best form that he had. And then you can literally filter and you can see all of his points that he got in all these different seasons, any given fixture. So, like, you can see this run that he had in 2016 where he got, you know, 6 against Arsenal, 11 against Palace, 7 against Bournemouth, 6 against Watford, 13 against Swansea. You know, amazing run for him. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Az, how can I get this tool? It looks amazing. Well, the answer is you can't yet, but we are looking for ways to bring this into the members area of Scout soon, whether that's in kind of spreadsheet form or whether we find a kind of a more integrated way of doing it. But essentially, whenever I build these whenever I build these streams, I come onto this because I just think it's absolutely incredible. And I look at some of the fixtures. Do I remember when Eriksen got 19 points against Hull City, and then blanked, because that's what always happens, right? When a player gets 19 points, and then got 18 and 10. I can honestly say I don't remember that, but I can almost guarantee I didn't own him for those double digit points. But look at this run he had here. You know, he's getting 10, 11, 10, 19, 18, 10. It's an incredible run for Eriksen across that period. So, yeah, I really like this. I particularly like things like this. So, looking at the filtered stats, look at his blanks. So, he blanks in 53% of his matches that season. But he got 10-plus points in 30% of his games, which is fantastic. So, then what you can do is you can have a look at someone like Sanchez, who also had such a fantastic season that year. Wait for all this up to update. I mean, how people build these kind of spreadsheets, I don't know. Because the amount of work that must go into building these. I mean, I used spreadsheets a lot for my last job, and I could do like the basic formulas and stuff, but trying to work out how you can pull in, you know, like historic data from the FPL website and create something that gives you this kind of information is, yeah, pretty amazing. Oh, so the Dele Alli deal is confirmed then, and Ndombele's gone. So Spurs are chipping out quite a few of their players now. Yeah, so this is Sanchez, for example. So again, Sanchez having that kind of incredible season in 2016-17. But yeah, 10 plus points, 11. So, you know, Eriksen was... I think back to that season and I remember Sanchez just being an absolute beast. That was that game there, that gives me so many memories of Eriksen, of Sanchez. 23 points against West Ham. I captained him for that match. And he was doing all right, but he was flying under the radar a little bit. Yeah, and I bought him in captain. I don't know why I'm talking about Sanchez, but yeah. Luke Upton says the amount of tables and numbers on the screen is giving me a headache. I know it gives you a headache, but come on, Nuclear. Look at the data of this. You can look at the filtering options you can do. It's incredible. But yeah, 10 plus points for Sanchez that season. 29% of the games got over 10 points, and that wasn't as good as Eriksen. So Eriksen was at 30%, I believe. So yeah, incredible stuff from Eriksen. Really interesting to know what you think he's going to... If you're watching this later, let me know in the comments what you think Eriksen's going to do, whether you think it's going to be a good signing for Brentford. Also, I guess we need to talk about Dele Alli, because, you know, Dele Alli and Van de Beek moving to Everton, that's two sort of midfield boosting options for them. They've struggled. I mean, they've struggled over the pitch, conceding stupid goals, not scoring enough. Creativity's been a problem. They're not really addressing the Rondon situation as a kind of backup striker for Calvert-Lewin in case he gets injured again. But yeah, I think they probably need to do something about that. I don't think it's the right. I think if Everton were comfortable, if Everton were sort of comfortably in ninth or tenth, no dangers of getting dragged into a relegation dogfight, then they'd be fine moves, you know, a bit of a risky moves, but. I'm not sure they're going to provide the spark that Everton need to really see themselves. I mean, I think they won't get relegated. I think they'll be safe, but they need a bit of a springboard to kind of move up the table as quickly as possible and try and get into that top 10. And I'm not sure personally that Ali and Van de Beek are the right moves for them. But I've been wrong before, and I'll hold my hands up if I'm wrong again. I think that's it, really. That's kind of all I want to touch on Eriksen. I think there's definitely potential there. I think, like I said, I think it's a great signing for Brentford if things work out. I think everyone is going to be, you know, willing him on. And I remember how I felt when I watched him in the Euros and he collapsed. And I remember being in the pub and the pub was quiet, everyone trying to work out what had gone wrong. One of my best friends lives in Denmark. And I was messaging him and he said, like, people were crying in the bars in Copenhagen. So, you know, for him to, you know, for that to have happened, for him to have got the help that he needed and for him to now be, you know, back playing professional football, I think is a testament to everyone who acted on that day and all the medical professionals that have been working with him. No sort of ill regards to Inter or anything like that, because that's the league rules. But, you know, Brentford have obviously come in and snapped him up because they think he's going to have a big impact for them, and hopefully he will. So that is it for me. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Like I said, if you like that spreadsheet, drop a message in the comments as well, because I think it's absolutely incredible. I think it could be one. It could kind of, I don't know if it it's going to revolutionise like your strategy and your thinking. But I just love looking at data like this and being reminded of sort of previous seasons. So yeah, if you're like me and you're a bit of a nerd and you like that, then let me know. And yeah, as I said, we're going to try and get. This kind of, you know, available for people kind of as soon as possible. But thank you everyone for watching. I will be back with Black Box on Wednesday. I'll be doing that with FPL Focal. So head over to the FPL Black Box channel and subscribe to that if you're interested. Make sure you like this video as well. Make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Football Scouts. And I will see you soon.